These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. And I'm glad that we can know. I'm grateful to see you in the house of God this morning. Appreciate, again, it's been said what the Lord did for us on Wednesday night. I'm grateful for that and His presence and encouragement and help in these days. But this morning's a new service, and I trust the Lord has just what we need this morning, as He always does. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. If you have your Bibles this morning, want to turn there and read along with us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us this morning. Realize that we can't do anything without Him. Certainly need His help and need His touch in the service today. We'd try to give you what has been placed upon our heart. Been one of them weeks that I think it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning as well. I just really didn't have any direction after Wednesday night. Really just kind of feasted on the things of God and what He did on Wednesday night. And then yesterday was outside just trying to get a few things done around the house, as life is, and which I know it come from the Lord, but really for me, it was out of nowhere. I hadn't read this scripture, hadn't thought about it, but the Lord just began to speak some thoughts to my heart, and I want to try my best by His help to give them to you this morning and trust that if He will help us, that we'll leave better than we come and find the help that we all need this morning as the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to stand, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the precious Word of God. Fairly familiar scripture, I would think, to us this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul here, writing the church at Corinth, is talking about the body of Christ, or the church. I think in our day, and I'm not going to get too technical or fall out with anybody, But I think we have really lost sight in our New Testament church age, the modern New Testament age. We have lost sight of what the church really is. The church is not the building. Though we have placed much emphasis on the church building, the church is not the building. Though I am glad that we have a building that we can come to. One place, I think, in Kentucky maybe, a church, I don't remember what the denomination was, don't really matter, but I think they had it right on their church sign. It said, and I think maybe it was a Baptist church, and it said, so-and-so Baptist church meeting house. And that's right. This is just a meeting place for the church. We are the church. The church is not a building. It is a body. And so this place, this building that we have to come to assemble together is just a meeting place for the church. For the body, we are as much the church outside of the building as we are inside the building. I think there's been, and I'm just going to try to preach and give you what's on my heart, but I think that there's been much emphasis on the building so that many people can be pacified and satisfied and their conscience soothed that they can live any way they want to as long as they are outside the building. There is a great mindset of people in this day that has done great harm and detriment to the church and the emphasis of the church and the testimony of the church and the character of the church. The emphasis in our day is on four-wall Christianity. And that is that as long as we're in the church, then that's when we live like the church. But according to the Bible, if you're saved, you're in the church and you never cease to be in the church. And so the life that we live in the church, whether we're in the building or not, we are always in the body. And so the Apostle Paul, dealing with some things, many issues that he dealt with at the church at Corinth, but apparently, according to this scripture, many of them had thought themselves better than others, and because of what they were, what they did, they thought themselves to be on a higher level than those that maybe didn't have the same position that others had. And so the Apostle Paul began to deal with the fact that we are all members of the same body. And that God has set us all in the body as it seemed good to Him to put us. And so we ought to all rejoice in our place in the body. He said the body is one body, but many members. And so all of us here, we make up this local body, but we are part of a much greater body than just those of us that are here. We are all that are saved. It makes no difference the denomination. That has nothing to do with salvation, but true salvation, being born again by the blood of Christ, it baptizes us into the same body of believers. We are all, there is one body of Christ. There are not many, but there's one. There are many members in this body. It would probably surprise us, and I understand that Jesus said, and it is so, and we can see it more and more seemingly in our day, that those that are on the narrow way are few, and those on the broad way are many, but it would surprise us, I think, to know just how many members are a part of the body of Christ. Many times in our day, in our own life, among local churches, we get in this mindset, and we've all been there, and we've all been through it, that we feel like we're the only ones, that there's not anybody else, but there are many members of the body of Christ, scattered all across this nation, scattered all across the world, there are members of this body. But I'm interested this morning And I understand that it's on my heart to preach about the church. But I want to get down to where we are, even though we are. And I just felt like I need to say and clarify about the fact that the church is the body and not the building. And there is one church, one true church. But I want to get down to where we are as a local church and preach to us this morning. And I'm interested in verse number 25. Was just out working, the Lord began to speak to my heart about this little four-letter word, care. About care within the church. And so I began to think about care and about what the Bible says about care. Now I'm going to say what another preacher said, because it sums it up really well in our day. Some just don't care. Some are loaded down with care. Some need to show they care. And some need to know we care. I believe that's right. I believe all that what Christ said about care within the church is very well summed up in that statement by a man of God, that some just don't care. They don't. Even within the church, some do not care. They come to church, or so they think. They come to a meeting place, but really deep down inside, many people that are assembled in their respective building this morning just really don't care about what's going on. And there are some that when we assemble, that whether we know it or not, whether we can sense it or see it, there are some among us probably this morning that are loaded down with care. They are burdened. They are overextended by the cares of this life, of their life, of the situation and the storms that they are going through. There are some that maybe they do care, but they don't show they care very well. And so they need to show that they care. I believe the church ought to show that it cares. And then there are some among us that maybe need to know that we do care about them. And there are many that are not among us that are living without in the world that they need to know that the church cares about them. I believe that's right. Now I understand that the atmosphere is different this morning, but I believe this is exactly where that God wants us to be. I think we need to take, and I'm saying we need to take a good, long self-examination of our part as a member of the body of Christ and the church, and to see what the Bible requires about us caring. I believe the Bible has three specific places or ways that the care is to go on within the church. And the Lord just began to speak to my heart about these, and I want to give them to you, and then we'll go home. But I believe that there is care of the church. We see this in the life of the Apostle Paul, when he talked about all the things, all the heartache, all the shipwreck, all the beatings, all the persecution, all the things that he had endured. And then he said, besides all this, the care of all the churches. We see it not only in the Apostle Paul. We see it in the life of Titus. Paul boasted, not arrogantly, but he boasted in the fact that Titus had shown the same care of the church that he had. He boasted about Timothy to the church at Philippi, and he said, I'll send my son in the faith, Timothy, to you, for there's none other man who cares of you like him. So I believe that
And it's not just we have this mindset in our day, and I understand that the pastor bears the load for the spiritual condition of the church. I understand that. If a pastor is a true pastor, and I don't feel like I'm very qualified to preach about pastors, but I do understand what the Bible says, that if a true pastor is a pastor, then he will have care of the church. But it's not just the pastor's job to care of the church. I believe it is all of our responsibility, and it should be within all of us as the people of God to care of the church. That word care, when the Apostle Paul said that the care of the churches was upon him, the word care means literally to care for or to take care of. It means to seek the best interest of the one you have in mind. And so what the Apostle Paul was saying is that I'm laboring, I'm doing what I'm doing for the best interest of the church. And I believe that we all should do what we do in the best interest of the church. Not necessarily the building, though there are things that have to be done. And not necessarily just our local assembly, but we ought to do what we do because we care of the church. I know it's not the Bible, and I've never really preached much. We don't have one hanging on our wall, but many of us know and were raised up and familiar with the church covenant. And I'm not elevating it to the status of the Word of God, but sometimes it's kind of like singing songs. We've been around them so long and heard about it so long that we don't ever stop to really think about what it was that when we joined the church. I'm talking about as a member, by letter on the roll of some church, what we agree, what was within the covenant that we agreed to become a part of a local church. Within that church covenant is to strive for the advancement of the church. It is to promote both the prosperity and the spirituality of the church. And that is part of the care of the church. We, as the people of God, have a responsibility to have a care of the church. I believe if we're saved, we will care of the church. I understand there are times in our lives that care may be stronger than it is other times. I understand we go through times in our life, and I've been there, and many of you, if you'd be honest, you've been there when it seems like our life is on autopilot and we just operate based on feeling and function and rut and routine, and maybe the care is not what it ought to be, but we have a responsibility according to the Word of God and a care of the church to seek its best interest. Many people live their lives throughout the week with never a second thought about what the best interest of the church is. Many people go about their day to make their choices, use their language, go the places they go without a second thought about what kind of impact will this have on the church. Not just our church, not just our assembly, not just our local body, but the body, the church as a whole. What kind of impact, what kind of influence will this shed light on the church? Does it promote its spirituality? See, that covenant that we cling to and that we conform to become a member of the church, it's not just something that's done on Sunday, but it is a daily thing. Just like our Christian life, it's not just a Sunday and a Wednesday night, but it's a daily life. And the care of the church is not just while we're in the building, but it's as long as we're in the body. We ought to care of the church. But then the Bible speaks about a care for the church. Thank God for that. That He cares for us. Peter said we can cast up for those of you that may be here today and you may fall in the category of those that are loaded down with care. Peter said we could cast all our care on Him, for He careth for us. There is a care that Christ has for the church. And this care, I thought about what the Bible says about Christ and the church, that He's the head, He's the one that makes it operate, He's the one that without Him, the church cannot function, the church cannot live, the church cannot exist. That's why there's so much emphasis, or there should be emphasis, on Him passing by, on Him showing up. We can come and go through our rut and our routine and share some preaching and sing some songs, but without the head, it cannot function. And our head cares for us. According to Peter, and the way that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he used the word careth. That is a continual thing. And so this care for the church, I would have to say, is supernatural care, in that it never ceases. We wax and wane on our care for the church. Some days it's more than it is at others. Some days it's much less. Some days if we'd be 100% honest with ourselves, some days it's almost non-existent. But Christ's care is supernatural. It is always the same. Things of this life are like a roller coaster. They're up and down, in and out, to and fro, round and round. But Christ is a constant. His love is constant. His care is constant. His holiness is constant. And so this care that He has for the church is a supernatural care. That He cares for us just as much on our worst day as He does on our best day. That His care does not fluctuate with how we live, where we go, or what we do. Now that doesn't give us a license to sin or to live any way we want to, but it ought to be a sense and source of encouragement to us to know that He cares about us. Amen, this care He has for the church is not just supernatural, but it is selfless. The Bible said He loved the church and gave Himself for it. He loved the church more than He loved His own self. And God loved the church more than He loved His own Son. He spared Him not, but the Bible said delivered Him up for us all. And I'm going to say something right here. You can fall out with me. I don't want you to. But I believe I'm in the Bible. The care that Christ has for the church is a special care in that it is only for the church. He doesn't care about anybody else like He cares about the church. He loved the church and He gave Himself for the church. Now, I understand that Christ came into the world to save sinners. I understand that. That was the whole reason He came. That was His sole purpose. He loved sinners. He hated sin, but He loved sinners. But I'm talking about the care that He has, that we're on His mind, that He's interested in us. The word care there that Peter used is literally the same word we used to be concerned. Peter said He's concerned about you as the church. He cares for the church. I'm glad to be a part of the church. I'm glad He cares about me. And I'm glad if you're saved, He cares about you. And if you're not saved, He loves you and wants to birth you in the family so that He can care for you like He cares for us. But can't get the word care and love mixed up. I didn't say that Christ didn't love sinners. I said He cares for the church. The church is the one that He cares for. It's what He's concerned with. It's the whole thing He came to establish. It was to build the church. And so there is a care for the church. There is care of the church. But then I want to say, and I'm about done, there should be care by the church. We as a church should care for others. First of all, I want to say that we should care for those within. That's what the text said in verse number 25. But that the members should have the same care one for another. In so much care that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with that one member. And so much so that through the suffering, when rejoicing comes, that all the members can rejoice with the one that is rejoicing. Back to that church covenant again. It said that we covenant together to watch over one another in brotherly love. To pray one for another. And to aid one another in sickness and in distress. I'm not saying that's the Bible, but I'm saying it was taken out of the Bible that we should care one for another. It should come natural, is what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, I believe it was. He said, you have no need that I write unto you about love, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We know we pass from death unto life, John said, because we love the brethren. There is a special love, a special bond that is between believers. And so we should care, we should show that care one toward another. Many times, and I'm not criticizing anybody, I'll criticize myself as much as anybody else. But what I'm saying is this, what God has birthed inside of us, that we do care one for another, and I do care about you, and I believe you care about me. But sometimes along the journey, as the preacher said, there are some of us that just need to show that we care. And sometimes we think we do when we don't. Sometimes we think that it ought to just be automatic, that people ought to know. But sometimes there is a place to show that we care. To those who are within. To that one who is loaded down with care. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Other times it's easily sensed to anybody that has any kind of spiritual discernment when our brother or our sister is loaded down with care. When we sense that, when the Lord shows us that, we should show, make a special effort to show we care about them. We should care for those who are within. But then I want to say, we should care. And by the way, before I go any further, let me say again what Paul said. All the members are needed. All of you this morning are needed. It matters not what you think about yourself. It matters not what your position is or what it ain't. You are needful and necessary, and we are all in the body as God saw fit to place us. And so none of us can get the attitude that we don't need anybody else. If they're a part of the body, they're needful. No position, no part of the body is any better than anyone else. The only one that's higher than anybody is the head, and that's Christ. And all the rest of us are just members as God put us in the body. Sometimes, can I say it like this? I'm just trying to preach and I'll be done in a minute. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we take for granted how needful a part of the body is. That we have been so acquainted with, that we have become so used to and so accustomed to, and that is the downfall, or one of the downfalls of human nature. When we get in a rut and a routine, we fail to show we care because it's just habit to us. But you mash your finger real good and then you see how much you need it. Let it be in a shape where it can't function as it ought to function, and then see how much you really rely on it. Mash your thumb. Yeah, that's right. Have something go wrong, and then see how much you rely on it, not just for those things that you feel are very important, but what about those things that we just do out of habit that don't seem as important as others? We can't do any of them. I thought about, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, and he won't care, I know. I thought about Brother Tim when he cut his thumb and his finger. No doubt there was a realization at the workplace of how important that thumb and finger was. But even the little things, like coming to church and playing the guitar, was taken away because that part of the body wasn't functioning as it once did. There've been days I've mashed fingers, couldn't button my shirts, had to have my wife button them for me. You say that's foolish. Yeah, it may seem foolish, but that's just something we take for granted, that it happens every day, that it's able to be accomplished. And we come into the house of God and we sit down, we're able to sing, we're able to have instruments, I'm able to preach with liberty, and I understand that comes from God, but many times it's because you prayed. And how many times do we take for granted that we can do what we've always done, and when it's gone, it's that time we realize how important it was. God help me not to let it get to the place where the thumb or the finger has to be mashed in the body for me to appreciate what they do. Now I want to say this morning, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, it doesn't matter to me, and I don't mean that bad, but it doesn't matter to me what you do within this church. If you lead singing, if you teach Sunday school, if you mow the grass, if you vacuum the carpet, if you clean the commodes, if you change the light bulbs, if you carry the water to the preacher, if you come and pray, if you just come in and sit down and listen to the Word of God, you're needful and necessary in the body. We should care one for another. There should be care shown by the church. And we get it in our mind. Now I'm just preaching where we're living. But we get it in our mind about customs and traditions that we have that are easy times to show that we care. When someone's lost a loved one, we can cook food, or we can send flowers. When somebody's in the hospital, we can go visit. But let's not wait till a time such as that. Let's do show our care in those times. But what about the time when somebody comes in and they just need to know you care about them? They ought to care. There ought to be care by the church for those who are within. But then I want to say, and I'm done this morning, there ought to be care by the church for those who are without. There should never be anybody that is within hearing distance of this church or your house that could ever get to the place. I thought it came to my heart and my mind last night about David when he was running from Saul and everybody forsook him. He got to the place where he said, "No man cared for my soul." I hope nobody ever gets to the place around this building, around my house, around yours, that are without the church, that are not saved, that they ever get to the place where they feel like we don't care about their soul. That's the most important thing. I thought about, and I understand, many people say, you ought not to get that personal when you preach. Well, if the Lord tells me to, I'm just going to try to follow Him, and it doesn't really matter. But I thought about while we were back here having these services behind the building, and these folks that live across from the church building here, I hadn't talked to them much, seen them on and off, told them they was welcome to come. But there was more interaction there. And I talked to him, and others did, Brother John and others that were here helping set up. We talked to him, and it seemed to me like he was so appreciative. And he might have odd ways of showing it, there may not be a lot of exchange of verbal dialogue and all of that. There may not be all of that. But he showed an appreciation. I could sense it. I could see it. He said, I was raised in church. I don't go anymore. I don't know too much about what goes on. But I remember being out here the first service that we had here at the church. Outside in the parking lot in the front. And it wasn't long, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, but I felt like the Lord showed up a little and helped us. And I had no idea that he had come out, him and her had come out and sat down on the tailgate to watch and listen. And I got done and we had talked for a few minutes and about everybody had gone. He walked across the parking lot and he said, I kind of liked what I heard tonight. Do you mind if I listen again the next service you come? And I thought, Lord, help us. In this church age, if some sinner asks if we care, if they listen to what the preacher has to say. Almost like he was making sure it wasn't an inconvenience for him to listen to the Word of God. There ought to be some care by the church for those that are without. And I don't know if you've got anything out of it this morning. I just tried to bear my heart to you about care within the church. And I want you to know this morning, if you don't already, and I'm not just saying it to be saying it, but I want you to know I care about you. And we ought to care one for another. We should love one another and care, but we should show it. We should show our care. And if you're here this morning and you need to know that we care, I hope you know that we care. Care. All the members should have the same care one for another. Matters not who we are, matters not what we do. We should care one for another. We should care by example that Christ cares for us. And so we should care one for another. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for this privilege and opportunity. Be able to bow and call on your name in prayer. Lord, I know this morning that it's not been much on my part, just a few scattered words. But I pray this morning that you'd take the Word of God and the message and that you'd allow the seed of the Word of God to fall on good ground. Lord, that it might bring forth fruit to be found in glory and honor to your name. Help us, Lord, as the people of God, that we care. Lord, that we care of the church, that we seek its best interest and promote it, Lord, in spirituality. Lord, to be thankful for the care for the church that you give to us. Lord, to care by the church, that we should care one for another. Lord, we should care for those who are without. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be a light on a hill. Lord, that we'd be a city on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. I pray, dear Lord, that we'd shine in the darkness of this world and that you'd get glory and honor out of us. Thank you for each one that's here today. I pray you'd bless them and help them, Lord, along the journey. If there's one here today, Lord, that's loaded down with care, I pray, Lord, that you'd let them know that we care and you care.